Welcome to In Between, where you'll hear stories, conversations, and hard-earned wisdom to help you navigate the space that lies in between where you are and where you're going. I'm Heather Ashley Baker. Hello and welcome to this very special bonus episode of In Between. I am very excited to share this conversation with you. My special guest today, Claire Markwick, and I met through the podcast host group that I was a part of called Wit & Wire, which if you've been listening to In Between for a while now, you know that I've interviewed the founder of Wit & Wire, Melissa Guller, and a few other of my guests have been people that I've met through the Wit & Wire podcast host community. And Claire is one of those people. And immediately when we met, we just hit it off. We have similar journeys and stories. And anytime we talk, the conversation just flows. It's so natural. It's so comfortable. And both of us are big talkers. And so when we sat down to record this special episode, we talked and talked and we just had a blast. In fact, I can't wipe the smile off my face right now, even just talking about it and thinking about it, because it was such a fun, beautiful, energetic, life-filled conversation. It is a long episode, or as Claire has referred to it, it is a feature-length episode. So definitely grab a cup of coffee or maybe even a glass of wine and sit back to get really comfy to enjoy this episode. It's a good one. It is packed with so many nuggets of wisdom. And I love this conversation because, as I said, Claire and I are both big conversationalists, but we're also very real and very genuine. And in this conversation, this totally unfiltered, raw, unedited conversation, we sit down and we share very openly about our personal journeys and our stories of moving to Australia, relationships challenges and business challenges, and leaving behind our 9-to-5 jobs to start our own businesses. And we talk about a lot of the things that we've learned throughout that process. Claire is the founder of Reignite Performance Coaching, and she hosts her own podcast called The Real Life Business Podcast. It's a great show, which I highly recommend you check out. She is real and genuine on that podcast just as much as she is here in this conversation. And it's one of the things that I just really love about connecting with her is that we talk real. We talk about the real stuff. So we hit record, let the conversation flow, and that is what you're going to hear today in this extra special bonus episode of In Between. Hey, Claire.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Yay, this is so fun.
I know, right? Like it's a totally different way of doing a podcast, but I'm really excited to be sharing this with you today. So let's see how we go.
Yes, me too. So we are going to just flow with the conversation, and I'm super excited to see where we go with this and to talk to you. And you're in Australia with me, which is actually kind of new. A lot of my podcast guests are in other countries. So we're like almost in the same time zone, which is really exciting.
Are we? No, we're not. We're an hour different, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, 1 hour. We're nearly there.
We're nearly there. Yeah.
It's so crazy though, isn't it, that we can like connect like this with people from all over the world. Like I've had people from the UK and from America and that all on my show as well. And it's awesome that we've got the ability to do that, isn't it?
I know. I love it. It's great. Like who would have thought? Well, I wouldn't have.
No, me neither.
I was growing up, I didn't have this kind of technology, but so it dates me. cool. Well, I guess we're going to start off and share our stories.
Yeah,
and
that sounds like a good idea.
I think that sounds good. And for those of our audiences who aren't familiar with either of our journeys. So, do you want me to start?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, so a bit about me then. Well, I'm an American here in Australia. I just became an Australian citizen this year, like 2 months ago, which is super exciting. So I've had this whole journey and I've been here for almost 6 years. It'll be 6 years in February. And I feel like the last 6 years of my life, I've come alive. Like I've started living my life, and that's not to dismiss any of the time that I spent in the States, obviously, because that's where I was born and raised and where my family is and where I went to college and all of that stuff. But I don't know, there was something about moving overseas and leaving the place that I was born and leaving all the family that I knew and coming here that just opened everything wide open for me, just in my own life and my own growth and personal transformation. So I've seen the last couple of years, just I've kind of been through the ringer just in terms of personal life and relationships and business, and it's all just jumbled up together and trying to figure it all out at the same time. So when I moved here to Australia, I came over with my partner. We were married. He's American as well. And since we've been in Australia, we separated and divorced. So I had all of that going on behind the scenes. And while I was away from my family and trying to make this country my home. And then
I totally resonate with that. Exactly the same. Exactly.
Yes, that's crazy.
It's other amazing. Than being married, but you know, we were still in a long-term relationship, bought a house together, shared bank account.
Yeah.
Other than physically having to sign divorce papers, everything else. Exactly.
Wow. Wow. Resonate. And I moved here with somebody but we're not together anymore. So he's not really my family anymore. And then I was left to sort of pick up the pieces and basically create a new life for myself. So I kind of feel like I burned down my old life in a way and just built it up again from scratch in a sense. I mean, I kind of picked up some of the old pieces and then just reinvented myself. So since that happened back in 2018. And then I moved to Melbourne by myself and took a new job. And I've been working in the design and tech industry for, 14 some years now. So I've done graphic design, user experience, digital product design. I've got a background in theater prior to that. So I've done a fair bit in the creative field. And I was at the time still pursuing a career in design. And I took a job in Melbourne, moved down there. That job didn't work out. Melbourne ended up being a really difficult place for me. Just kind of a season of loneliness and just kind of figuring out, a new life. This is kind of the first chapter for me after my marriage ended. And then of course we had 2020 and the pandemic.
Enough said.
So that came right on the heels of everything for me. I left that job and got a new job at Cricket Australia, which was pretty exciting. So I got to manage the design team there. And I always knew underneath the surface that I wanted something more. I didn't want to work a 9-to-5 forever. I wanted a more flexible lifestyle. Mm. I wanted to work for myself. I didn't really know what it all meant, but I sort of started that journey of pursuing that at the beginning of 2020, right before COVID really hit in full force. And then I was made redundant from Cricket in 2020 and was just sort of like, now what do I do? I was stuck in Melbourne. I was living all by myself, totally isolated from everyone. And that's when I decided that was the opportunity to start working for myself, in the middle of the pandemic. And so I started that. And now that it's been a year since all of that, and I look back and I think, I was in total survival mode, and starting my own business and starting a podcast was something that I wanted to do, but it also kind of just kept me going during the pandemic and during the isolation. And this year has been totally different. So, which I'm sure we'll unpack a lot of that journey, but, so probably the first 18 months of my business has been a wild ride full of a lot of life change and transition and in between seasons and just me kind of trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do and what I want to do and, putting all the pieces together. Yeah. So it's been, here I am, I'm still here and figuring it out, but yeah. And then this year I've moved, I relocated back to Brisbane from Melbourne. Then I decided to drive up the coast, found myself in Cairns, and here I am at the end of 2021 after the whirlwind that has been the last few years.
Wow. So, what a story.
weaving a business into all of that, which is the really interesting part, is how you try to set up a lifestyle for yourself that you love and do work that you love, and balancing that with your real life is like, whoa, how does that even happen? There's like no rule book for this.
There
so that's
is
where
no
I find myself.
100%. And that exactly why, you know, that's exactly why I started my podcast for that exact reason. Because
yes.
I think, you know, I was certainly noticing, I'll backtrack and do my story in a minute, but mm-hmm. I was kind of noticing that the clients that were coming to me, small business clients that were coming to me as a coach were, you know, feeling so overwhelmed and feeling so chaotic and feeling like all these balls were in the air and what were they doing wrong and they needed to sort their shit out. And I kind of realized, well, actually everyone's feeling like this. Like it's not you, it's not me. It's like everybody to some extent or another is feeling like this.
Yeah.
So that's actually normal. And so I wanted to create my show to normalize the fact that this idea of normal and balanced and real life that we've all got in our heads is probably a fallacy, and that actually this up and down, this roller coaster, this chaos, this feeling of like, holy shit, when is all this going to settle down? That's probably more normal. And so maybe our journey is not to try and find a destination from there, but to feel comfortable in our own skin in that place. I'm sure we'll unpack that a whole heap as well.
I love that. I feel like that's been the story of my year is trying to accept that and be in that place and be okay with that place. Like just, okay, yep, this is where I'm at and it's okay. And I don't have to push myself to be something that I'm not right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, we'll definitely be unpacking that more, I'm sure. But yes, Claire, I want to hear your story. And it sounds like we've got a lot of similarities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, without sort of dwelling too much on stuff that was too far in the past kind of thing, but my journey to Australia from the UK was very much the same. You know, I came over here with my partner at the time after we finished uni. We bought a camper van, we traveled all around Australia, which is amazing. What most commies do. Absolutely loved it. Went back home to the UK and just wasn't feeling it anymore. I'm like, you know what? Like, I don't have any ties to Australia other than my partner at the time and his sort of connections over here. But it just felt like home. And so pretty much the sort of 10, 11 months that we were back from traveling was me applying for a visa to come back over here. So we came over, but it ended up very similar to your tale in as much as we moved over here together. We packed up our life in our two suitcases and rented a house in Subiaco in Perth. And, then we moved to the country, bought a house. I was looking forward to settling down and it didn't turn out that way. And at that point I had a choice, you know, I was like, well, do I go back to the UK too, or do I stay here? I decided, you know, the couple of years prior to make Australia home. So, you know, I had that question going around in my head. Well, do I change that now? Do I go back to the UK or do I stay? And I decided to stay. And I actually met my now husband not long after making that decision. And there was a part of me that was like, oh, is this a rebound thing? Is this a, you know, is this just a reaction to breaking up from a long-term relationship? But no, not at all. You know, when you meet your right person. And so here I am, here we are. We've just celebrated our 12th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, there's a whole lot of story in that, but we won't go into that right now. I guess the business side of things, that'll take up a whole hour, just that story.
Oh, I'd love to hear that story another time, because I'm sitting here wondering. Well, anyway, we could do a whole separate episode on relationships, but
we totally could. Send us DMs to our respective Instas.
Yeah, but there's sounds like there's hope. There's hope to meet somebody new.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. So, you know, professionally, business-wise, I'm an accountant by profession and always loved my job. It was something I fell into. I didn't intend to become an accountant. I knew that I wanted to do something business-related, but that was about as much as I knew when I went to uni and I studied business and economics. And I fell into accounting when I moved to Australia and we moved to the small country town because there really wasn't a lot of choice. And there was a graduate accounting job that came with a house. So I'm like, well, no brainer. I'll take that. and I loved it. I loved it. Up until then, I had our first son. And, you know, very much first parent, this baby's not going to change my life. Our life is just going to be the same. He'll have to fit in and everything, you know. Yeah. And to be fair with him, he was a very good baby. He slept really well, and he did actually allow, I went back to work and, you know, everything was kind of normal. I still kind of felt in control. Then we had our second son. And when I went back to work after he was born, so about 12 months later, I went back to work. Something had changed, you know, like I can't quite articulate it, because on the surface, everything was great. You know, I had a wonderful husband, two amazing, happy, healthy kids. We had a beautiful house. We had, you know, nice cars each. We had boats. We had camper trailers. We had motorbikes. We had all the toys. We went away on lovely holidays. Like, our life was really great. We both had really well-paying jobs. But something inside of me had changed. And how I describe it is the kids' movie Trolls. You know, when the trolls don't have their hugs, all their color drains. And so they're walking around in the world and they're still doing their thing, their troll thing, but they're gray. And that's how I felt. I felt gray and I felt empty. And I was like, well, who am I now? You know, I'm not the high flying accountant that I was, but I don't feel like I'm a stay home mum either. Like I can't give 100% to either of these worlds, because I feel like I'm a crossover between the two. But trying to do both, I felt I was failing at that as well. Yeah. Because while I was at work, I was always thinking about the kids and distracted by the kids and having to take time off when they were sick. And then when I was home, I was thinking about all the client stuff that I still had to do, and shit, I didn't send that email and I better just log on and do that now. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I was stuck between two worlds. And I think that was why I was really drawn to you. Well, like when we first connected in the podcast network, because your podcast is the in between. And I was like, that's exactly how I felt. I felt like I was completely in between two worlds, and I felt like I had to find myself again. And that's why I really resonated with your story. Like, you said you had to rebuild yourself and find yourself, and I was exactly the same. It's funny, isn't it?
It is, and it feels like such a common, it's something that a lot of us go through, right? And then that's what was a lot of the inspiration for my podcast too, because we all find ourselves in these in between seasons, but we feel like something is wrong with us. And what you're, you know, the premise with your show as well, and wanting to normalize the struggle and just say, look, we all go through these things. And, you know, even your story of how you said you were feeling gray, like you had all these things and you, but I still just don't feel something's not right.
Yeah.
And I think there's like the struggle, this like tension between, well, I've got this amazing life and I should be grateful for it, but I actually just feel like something is missing. And you feel bad about that. Like, that's that in between, that struggle as well, because you're like, well, I know that I'm not really where I'm meant to be and I'm not fully satisfied and fulfilled. And at the same time, which I've learned is that's like the key phrase, at the same time, you're holding that. And you're also saying, I know that I have this great life and I'm grateful for that. And that doesn't demean anything, or like how I'm feeling not fulfilled doesn't demean the fact that I've got this like beautiful life that I'm really grateful for. But you know that you're not, there's some part of you, some kind of deep part of you that's not aligned or not doing what you feel like you're meant to be doing. And that's a really hard place.
When I was in that place, I didn't have any of that language either. Understand the whole thing about values. I didn't understand the thing about alignment. I didn't understand anything about purpose. I just felt like I was being this mature kid. Yeah. I was like, and I would literally say to myself, for God's sake, Claire, pull yourself together. You've got a six-figure salary. You've got a beautiful house, an amazing husband, two kids. Like, you've got everything you could want, and yet here you are wanting more. Like, seriously, what is wrong with you? And you know, you would never know that from the outside looking in. You would never know that, because I had you know, put up this facade and, you know, everything's dandy, but that was just what was going on inside. And you know, then I started thinking, okay, well, maybe it's my job. Maybe I need a change. And we had a natural break, or I had a natural break in my career, because we moved from Western Australia to New South Wales. So I was like, okay, at the time, Kai was 4.5, Tyle was about 18 months old. So I was like, all right, we moved in December. I thought, we've got a couple of months before Kai starts school. I'm not going to work. I'm just going to settle into this new town and figure out what the hell I'm going to do with my life, essentially. But it doesn't always work out like that. When you move to a small town and the word on the street comes out that there's a qualified accountant that's just moved to town, you don't kind of fly under the radar for very long. And I was starting to have all these job offers thrown at me and, you know, the drawer of the money. And I was like, okay, well, I'll probably meet people through this as well. And so I took a role, which that particular role didn't work out. I then went into another role, which was different. You know, I'd been doing public practice accounting my whole career up to that point. Then I took a commercial finance role. So I was working for forestry corporations. So within an organization as an internal accountant, as opposed to sort of working in an accountant's office doing small mm-hmm. business tax returns and things like that. So it was different. And that did give me a bit of a spark. That did give me a bit mm-hmm. of a, you know, an energy boost. But it didn't take long for that to start to fade again. And that was kind of when I realized, okay, I do need to do something different here. Like something needs to change. And I started looking just randomly on Google. I was like, right, maybe I could be a dietitian. Maybe I could start a chicken farm. Maybe I could be an OT. Maybe I could, you know, and I was just Googling random shit. I was like, what qualification can I do next? Like to find my thing. And, you know, like how the Google algorithms work, they must have seen me just searching for these random jobs and careers. And I started getting all these life coaching ads popping up in my feed, you know, and it was like, okay, this chick clearly needs to sort her shit out.
Yeah, that is actually amazing. That's what, well, they what probably clued them in was Googling a chicken farm. Like that's probably what it was.
But you can ask my friends, you can ask like the people I was serious. I was like, you know, we had a couple of chickens and I was like, well, if I just multiply this big time, you know, I'm like, how many, mm-hmm. how I could sell a dozen eggs for this. Like I was working out the numbers, how many chickens would I need? Anyway, cut a really long story short, that's how coaching came into my world. And I started studying at the Coaching Institute in Melbourne. And I remember coming back from one training one time, one weekend, and my husband said, you know, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it because it's like your energy's coming back, your spark's coming back. And I felt like my color was coming back. I still couldn't articulate it. I still really can't to this day, but I'm learning just to lean in to when something feels right, roll with it. So yeah, that's a really long story, a really long way of saying, you know, now I'm a business coach. Now I support other small businesses, other small business owners to basically get their shit together and feel more in control and feel more aligned with their businesses and grow a business. The thing that's really important to me is, for me personally, and also helping my clients, grow a business that meets the needs of our life, because there's no point growing a business for the sake of growing a business and then 10 years down the track being stressed out, overworked, and kind of resentful of where you are because you don't actually have the lifestyle that you thought your business was going to give you. I've kind of learned you've got to create that on purpose. So that's really the core essence of where I'm at and what I do now.
Yeah.
As much of a nutshell as I can do because I like to talk.
I do too. I always find myself having to restrain with the details. And even then, I still probably give too many. So, woman after my own heart there.
We might have to split this episode into two.
Yeah. Let's see how long we ramble for. I love it. What I love about your story is that it's the kind of the way it goes, right? I mean, I think sometimes you have a very clear picture of what it is that you want to do. And I think that is true for some people and that's really awesome, but that definitely hasn't been my journey. And I know that's not really the journey of a lot of people that I've talked to. And that's the struggle because it's almost like you do feel like you should know. I feel like I should know. I've struggled with this all year. So when I started my business last year, I started it as a coaching business. But that wasn't what I ever thought I was going to do. I thought, oh, maybe I'll be good at it because I really like to encourage people. And I've done a lot of mentorship before in my career. And I thought, oh yeah, this would be really great. You know, but I'd had so many years as a designer. Part of me didn't want to keep designing, but then also part of me is like, well, this is where all my skills and experience lie. Like this is the thing that I know. So my very first iteration, very first idea was, I'll start a design studio and I'll sell design services. Well, then then that was in 2019. And then I kind of left that behind, took a different, I think that's when I started working at Cricut. And I don't know, I just kind of kept going in my design career. Then I lost my job. Then I had started pursuing some other creative ideas, some storytelling, and I really enjoyed that. And that's kind of what I wanted to keep doing. But then I was told that, well, you can't really make money producing content, so you should offer a service. So I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll do coaching then. You know, I can do creative coaching and I can basically encourage other people to step into their gifts and bring them out into the world. So I did do that and it was great and it was really rewarding and amazing. And there's still people that I'm working with, but it's just not, it didn't light me up in the way that I thought it would. So I was like, all right, well, that's not going to work, or why, you know, maybe I don't want to do that. So I created a workshop and I started creating some other custom programs and trialed those, but didn't really feel like I was in love with that either. And I never really wanted to promote it that much because it felt something just, and I thought that was interesting. I just sort of observed that. I was like, maybe, not that I don't believe in myself, but maybe there's just something about this that doesn't excite me in the way that I thought it did, because I don't want to be out there just talking about it all the time. And it's just interesting the evolution that you go through. And, you know, and I've kind of done this all since I sort of officially launched my business, if you will. So I've gone through all these different versions and iterations, and I, part of me looks at that and goes like, what am I doing? Like, does that mean I failed at something? Like, and then I kind of step back and go, well, like, what was my definition of success in the first place? And I, you said it at the end, you know, of your story as well, about, I think it's something about being really purposeful about the life that you want to create and being really intentional. And that for me was one of my big definitions of success, because back when I was in Melbourne and I was stuck in lockdown and I wasn't loving living in Melbourne anyway. And then lockdown kind of pushed that over the edge for me. And so it really caused me to think a lot about the life that I wanted. And I did a lot of writing and like brainstorming, journaling about what I wanted in my life. And a big part of that was setting myself up with work that allowed me to be anywhere I wanted, location independent. So I would be driven by the place I wanted to be in, the place I wanted to call home, versus like the necessity of having to live somewhere for a job.
Yep.
And that's a big change to make. And a lot of people I know can't, you know, that's a difficult thing. And of course I don't have a family. I didn't have to worry about moving a family around or anything like that. And I know that it is a big blocker for a lot of people, but you know, it's a big decision. It's a big lifestyle change. And once I lost my job, I mean, in a way the opportunity was sort of handed to me, you know, but I decided, I made the choice. Yeah. Well, that's what I decided to take it, you know, but I also could have chosen to go back and, you know, I thought about it, you know, how should I go back and get a full-time job? Like, this is really scary. We're in a pandemic. And sometimes I still think that, like, I still have those thoughts, you know, but I just try to stay true to what I want for myself and the lifestyle that I'm working to build. And, absolutely. And when you're creating with purpose, I think we forget that that doesn't happen overnight. Like, that's just exactly. Like a continual journey.
Oh, there's so much. Like, wait, as you were talking, I'm like, ooh. And I'm like,
we just keep going. And then there's like, that's what I find. I'm like, I've just talked for like ages, but then there's like so many different themes in what I've said. So feel free to stop me.
I think so there's a couple of things, there's heaps that I just picked up from what you said, and I can't even remember all of it now, but I think the purpose thing, there's so much, certainly in my social feeds and going around in my circles. And that might be just because of the amount of coaches in my network and the amount of people that I follow. But I think generally, you know, to anybody, anyone who's following any sort of business influencers or, you know, people in business, people who share content on business growth and personal growth, there's so much talk about purpose. And I think we can get ourselves tied in a bit of a knot, because we can be of the belief of, I've got to be living on purpose. My business has to be purposeful. And we can find it, like, I know I sort of found it really hard to define what my purpose was. I was like, well, what actually is my purpose? What's my vision? What's my mission? And I found it so hard to define those things that, you know, I almost sort of felt like I created something just for the sake of it. So that if I went to a networking event and, you know, somebody asked me, well, what's your purpose, like your elevator pitch or whatever, like I could say something. I'm like, but that doesn't feel quite right. That feels sort of icky. And I think what you talked about around the trying something didn't feel right, trying something else didn't feel right. And that feeling, in some respects, that feeling like a failure, or you at least questioning, does that mean I'm a failure? I don't believe that does. I think that's the journey, particularly for service-based businesses, businesses like yours and mine, where we don't have a bricks and mortar store, we don't have a product, we don't have stock, we don't have staff. You know what I mean? Like, we're not like, whatever comes out of our brains and our mouths or our typing, like that's our content, that's our product, that's our service, that's what we get paid for. And so because I don't have anything to hide behind, and I mean that with the utmost of respect, I'm not saying people with a bricks and mortar business hide behind their shop or their cafe or their whatever it is. I'm not saying that at all, but I personally have found that I've got nowhere to hide. Like I don't have, like I'm just me, and I've almost felt like I'm playing at this business game. Do you know what I mean? Like, as much as I know I am valuable, I know that I've got, you know, I've been to uni, I've got the business skills, I'm an accountant, I've done the coaching. Like, I know I've got so much that I offer. You can't help but feel a bit like, what the hell am I doing? Do these people with physical businesses just look at me and go, oh, she's just playing, you know, just let her go and play with her sort of pretend online business.
It does feel like that, yeah.
We'll go and do the real business of opening our shop every day, or opening our cafe every day, or, you know, or our gym, or our accounting practice, or our hairdressing salon, or whatever it is. Like, so I've been really battling personally with that. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, the thought of my business being essentially me wherever the hell I am, it's almost like, even though I'm saying that's the business I want, like I'm the same as you, I want a location independent business, and not to travel around all the time, because we do have kids at school, but to, if we go away, I don't want to have to take annual leave. Or, you know, if we do want to do an extended trip, I can. Or if I just want to spend more time with the kids in the school holidays, I can. I can wind things back. So I want that location independent business. But at the same time, I have to say, like, I've been battling with the belief of whether that's a real business. Do you know what I mean? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like I've gone off on a bit of a ramble, but.
But do you know, when you were talking, what I was thinking too, like, what, who says whether or not it's a real business, and real, I guess, as we've been doing with air quotes, but like, yeah. Who else, like, I wonder this sometimes, you know, I'm like, who is this judge? Who's this person that I think is sitting there judging whether or not I have a real business, or whether or not I'm a success? And then I think, is it all in my head? Like, or am I just measuring myself up to everybody else in the world, not in the world, but like everybody that I see online, or like, yeah, all these other successful business owners, or these people that I look at and I think, oh, I've got to be like them, but I'm not, because I'm me and I have a totally different journey and a different
outlook,
desire, and perspective. Yeah, exactly. So then I'm like, but you know, who are these people who are judging whether we're successful, whether we have a real business, and why do I care? And like, I don't know if I, it's just interesting, because I know you're hearing you saying it too. And I'm like, wow. I mean, we have very similar thoughts, and I'm sure there's so many other people out there that think the same thing. I've talked to other business owner friends who have echoed this very same thought process that you and I have just shared. And I'm like, but why are we, like, where do we get stuck on this idea that we're being judged? And are we actually the ones just judging ourselves? Like, I know it's like a pretty big question, and I don't really know if I fully have the answer to it.
I know. And I don't know,
to you.
I don't know if it's one that we necessarily needs an answer. I think it's posing the rhetorical question to at least make us think about it.
Right.
Because, you know, I've had clients with bricks and mortar businesses say the same thing, you know, like, I feel like I'm just playing at this business stuff. And that, you know, this isn't a real business because I have so much fun doing it, because I love it. And I think that's a really interesting thing. And this is what I was talking to a colleague of mine about just this morning on a call before we started recording. The more I lean into doing things that I do naturally, You know, that's coming up with a lot of resistance for me. It's like, well, I can't just do that and charge people for that. Like, who would pay for that? Right. And then I'm thinking, actually, and so it's almost like I've got this belief in my head that business needs to be hard, and that I need to be doing something that challenges me in order for it to be valuable, for people to then pay me for it, which is totally bullshit. And this is what I love about the personal development journey. And this is why I dig so deep personally with the clients that I work with. You know, I'm not just looking at your numbers every month. Yes, we do that as well. But there's so much more that to unpack in our brains than just looking at our profit and loss statement each month and then working out our goal for the next month. You know, there's so much value in asking ourselves these rhetorical questions and challenging our beliefs, because even me, but you as well, like us as a coach, we know the human behavior side of things. Like I know, like I'm an accredited personality profiler as well. So I know how I work. I know what my stress triggers are. I know what can really trip me up, yet it still trips me up. Doesn't mean I'm superhuman. doesn't mean just because I know that limiting beliefs and old beliefs hold us back doesn't mean I don't have them, and I still have to overcome them as well. So this is the latest one for me, in as much as I am ridding myself of the belief that I need to find what I do hard in order for it to be valuable. And you know, it's, as I say, it's something I'm working on right now, now as we speak. So it's something I'm unpacking now. So I haven't come out the other side of that, but I'm going to, and 2022 is going to be freaking awesome because of it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I wonder where that comes from, you know, like where do we get that belief that it's not hard, it's not, you know what I like? I mean, did somewhere along the way, did culture teach us that? Like, is that just our own imposter syndrome? Like, oh, well, if this isn't hard, it can't be real, or, you know, I can't enjoy what I'm doing, or is it years and years of working in miserable jobs, unfulfilling jobs, that we think that work isn't supposed to be fun? You know, I wonder that sometimes, like, how are these beliefs getting so rooted? And sometimes I know they're probably connected to our own self-doubts, or, you know, lack of belief and or confidence maybe sometimes, but then I think there's probably other influences as well. I think that's really interesting.
And I have to say, and I've said this recently, I can't even think where I've said it now. It might've been on a podcast, might've been on a Insta live, don't know what it is. But anyway, I have said this recently in the last couple of days, but you know, I catch myself, like when I say to one of our boys, for example, you know, oh, can you stop playing Fortnite and go and unpack the dishwasher? You know, it's like, oh, and I'll, as a mum voice comes out. It's like, come on, you know, life isn't all fun and games. You know, you can't always do things that are fun. And, you know, stuff like that comes out of my mum mouth. And then I catch myself saying it. I'm like, this is where a lot of these beliefs come from. Like we hear it and heard it and continue to hear it on a daily basis. Like life isn't all dandy. Shit happens. You know, and it does. We've got to be real. Like, you know, even having a business that we love, you know, we've still got to do our books, or at least organize for someone to do our books. We've still got to pay our taxes. We've still got to do the admin or organize someone to do the admin. You know, there's still sides of it that are not going to be as fun. But I think switching our mindset, switching the meaning we put to those things can have a really big influence on how we experience them. Yeah, a crazy can of worms to leave you on.
I was going to say, like, yeah, maybe like talk more about that. What it mean, the meaning that we assign to things. So it's how we view things through our own experiences and our own beliefs, and we assign meaning to them in that way.
Yeah. So I remember when I first started studying at the Coaching Institute, my mentor said, nothing has meaning except the meaning we put to it. And I almost the very first time I heard that, I fobbed it off, because I'm like, you know, it was almost just words in one ear and out the other. It just didn't, I don't know. And then I kind of heard it again. And like, she kept saying it, nothing has meaning except the meaning we put to it. And I was like, well, hang on, let's just have a think about this. And at that point, after I'd heard it a couple of times, like it blew my mind, because I'm like, okay, so a shitty situation happens and we go through the emotional processing or whatever, and we decide that that situation is shitty. When that thing was happening, that situation didn't have the purpose of being shitty. It was just a situation that was happening. The thing that made it shitty was the meaning that I put to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was like, oh, and it was such a big thing. It's still a big thing to articulate and actually unpack when you really seriously think about it. You know, like you could say, like, there's so much in the media about how shitty COVID is, how bad it is, how negative it is, how bad it's been for the economies and for the health system and for this and for that. And, you know, it has. I'm not taking away any of that. But at the same time, that doesn't mean, like, to say that it's been a really hard couple of years for businesses. It's been really challenging. It's really tough. It's only tough if we put that meaning to it. And when I look at myself and my own business growth, and when I look at my clients and everything they've achieved in the last 2 years, like one of my clients, I don't think she'll mind me sharing, like she opened a cafe, or her plan was to open a cafe in like April, just before the first lockdown. And she had to delay her opening because of the first lockdown. And, you know, her business is booming right now.
Wow.
And I'm like, that is someone who can just disregard all the media hype and all the naysayers. And this is someone who started a hospitality business in a global pandemic and has not only kept it going through this 2 years, but has grown it exponentially and is now, you know, like planning amazing things. And, you know, like that's just one example. And I just think if we can shift how we look at something, if we should, like we talked about earlier, if we can shift the parameters that we measure ourselves against as well, then it can totally shift our whole perception. It totally shifts our energy and it totally affects our whole experience. It's really powerful.
It really is. And I think that so much of what we do in business or creativity or in any way that we choose to express ourselves and put ourselves into the world, it comes back to that mindset piece and the stories that we're telling ourselves and the meaning that we ascribe to something. Like we said, if the goal, this is going to be really, really hard and I don't know if I can do it, you know, that's a whole difference of saying it is going to be really, really hard. Yes. Let's acknowledge that piece and I can do it and I will find a way to do it. You know, there's this like acknowledging what is and saying, well, I know that I've got the ability to get through it and to figure out a way to make it happen. You know, that's what I really want. And you're right. And that's a whole, that's just a massive mindset shift. And there's that big difference because I think that's where some people sort of get through it and some people don't. And I mean, I would admit, I've struggled with that this year. Like I've struggled with a lot of limiting beliefs as you were talking about earlier and measuring myself against this like scale of value and success that I don't even really know again, where I've gotten it from. I think maybe I compare myself to all these other people and think that I should be like them, or a year into my business, it should look differently. And then I stop and think about everything that's happened and all the changes that I've been through and all the transition I've been trying to balance and all of like the just human stuff that goes along with it. And I'm like, but why am I judging myself so harshly? And why do I just automatically assume that means I can't do it? I mean, not that I do believe that I can and keep going, but I think it just sort of starts to mess with my mind a little bit. I'm like, can I do this? Like what's happening? Like, why am I not further? Or why do I just not have the energy to do this? Like, I just feel burnt out and something wrong with me. And what does that mean? Does that mean that my mindset's not where it should be? And then, you know, then it gets all tangled up in there and then it kind of starts to be take the form of limiting beliefs that, you know, you have to try to unpack, as you were saying. Like, I'm in that process too. And that's so refreshing to hear, you know, you're saying, oh, I'm in the middle of unpacking these things, you know, of unpacking your limiting beliefs. Like, that's just how it is.
Yeah. And I don't think that stuff ever goes away. Like, no. it really doesn't, because we will get to a point where we feel comfortable. Like, we'll get to a point where we're like, all right, you know, I'm feeling all right now. I'm in control, whatever. Then something will happen, or we will decide we're going to elevate ourselves. Like life doesn't stop when we're feeling comfortable. Life doesn't stop, and it just keeps happening. So, you know, we'll be thrown a curveball. We'll have someone let us down. We'll have a member of staff leave us. We'll have a family illness. There'll be dramas with our kids. Like, I'm not like, I say this, I think I said this on a recent podcast, like, I don't say all this to be a Debbie Downer. Like, I say all this to be real. Like, stuff happens.
Yes.
And you know, when I say we'll reach a point where we're comfortable, that might be like a moment in time. I'm not saying like we'll reach a 12-month period where everything's dandy. Like, when
could
we
be a
are,
very brief moment.
Yeah. Like, I've when we're growing, and this is something that I remind myself and I talk to my clients about all the time, when people start to beat themselves up for, oh, you know, I thought I got over this. Like, I thought we'd work through this. I'm like, yeah, we worked through it when you were down here. You've now elevated. Mm. And so you're striving for something different. You're valuing something different. Your whole outlook is different. And you're reaching this new elevation of crap to sort through. Like, I follow Denise Duffield Thomas. I don't know if you've come across her. She's amazing, has written some awesome books, Get Rich, Lucky Bitch, and Chillpreneur, like so good. And I love her attitude. She's very, very real. Like, she's this seven-figure businesswoman. Her business makes millions. But, you know, I was listening to one of her shows just the other day. She's like, just because I'm a millionaire doesn't mean I don't have problems. Just because I'm a millionaire doesn't mean I don't have shit to sort through. Just because I'm a millionaire doesn't mean I don't have like money blocks and stuff that I have to work through. It just elevates with each level as we move up. And I think that's a big mindset shift that I've had to accept as well. Like, it doesn't, when we clear something, we've got a bit of freedom and then we'll hit another block. Like, previously, like in the past, I've been like, oh my God, Claire, like, seriously, like, again, like, you know, you've hit something else again, and seeing that as a failure. But I flipped that now, because if I'm hitting another block, that means I'm progressing. That means I'm growing. That means I've reached the next thing that I have to grow through. And isn't that an amazing opportunity? Because what's going to be on the other side of that? And isn't that incredible? And just shifting that mindset. And it's freaking hard sometimes, I am not going to lie. You know, I sulk, I get angry, I get snappy at my kids, I get snappy at my husband, I, you know, cry. Like, I am not the perfect controlled being all the time. And I think if anyone says they are, they're totally lying. I think the difference is we know how to get ourselves out of that state quicker.
Yes. Yes.
That's the difference, as opposed to never getting into that state.
I agree. I think that it is going to, as you said earlier, those things are going to keep happening. Like, you're never going to just reach a point where you're like, cool, my mindset's like 100% good, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm just never going to run into any issues. I'm never going to experience imposter syndrome. Like, I'm never going to question myself or question my decisions or my business. Like, no, you're never going to reach that point. And I love that you talked about, you know, struggling, feeling like you're struggling with the same thing over and over, because I've definitely experienced that. And to hear you have experienced it in your clients, and a lot of us do, I've had friends and clients say that to me as well. Like, why am I still going through this? I thought I figured this out. And I like to think of it as an advanced class. Like, you were at, like, you know, you're like at the, you know, when you're a kid and you're in school, like, you learn math and science and all that stuff every single year, but you're learning different stuff and you're building on the knowledge that you already have. And then you get to a point where you're like in an advanced level course. And I think that's just pretty much how it is. That's what I try to look at it as now. Mm-hmm. I try to think, oh, well, it feels like I'm still dealing. Like, I've always dealt with comparison throughout my whole life. Like, as a kid and all the way through high school, college, all the way through my design career. Now, like, I've just always dealt with it. So it feels like sometimes I think like, am I ever going to get over this? Am I ever going to just stop it? But the difference is now, like, it is an advanced class because I've gone through so many different versions of myself and I've learned so many things that I'm now better informed that I can take that into the next phase. And it's just, I'm going to always be struggling with it, but I've learned to identify it. As you said, like, it's that piece where now you kind of know the triggers, you kind of know, you're able to identify it when it's coming in. And instead of spending maybe where I used to spend days, you know, I used to get so thrown off course by something and get so upset and worked up about it. Now I am actually able to deal with it a lot quicker and move past it. And I've learned how to, what I need to do to be able to address it and say, you know what? I recognize this. I know that I'm starting to compare myself. I just looked at something on social media. Maybe that was my trigger. I just read something and now I'm feeling maybe insecure. I'm doubting myself or something. Nope. Stop it. I recognize that that's happening. And where in the past it might cause me to go down this big spiral for the rest of the day, or maybe even a couple of days, I'm not going to allow myself to do that now because I know. And I'm going to instead, you know, I've learned what I need to do. Maybe it's go for a walk, or it's do something different. Or maybe I do need to talk to somebody that I trust about it, or I need to write, or, you know, I just need to do something to get myself out of that space because it's not, you know, going down that, you know, other path is not going to be very productive or very healthy. And then I think, cool. So I've still dealing with comparison and I've actually learned better tools now to be able to fight it. And that's huge. And I think we just forget, we sort of like gloss over that. Like now talking about this with you and having this discussion, I'm like thinking we don't celebrate enough. I think that we, yeah, maybe we're still dealing. We think we're just dealing with the same stuff, but we're actually better equipped
exactly
to deal with it.
Exactly.
And that's amazing. That's huge.
It's totally amazing. And again, oh my God, there's so much to pick up on in what you just said. A couple of things that I love how you, I noticed when you started that story, you said like, you know, there's always going to be stuff we struggle with. And then at the end of the story, you change that to like, there's always going to be stuff to deal with. Or I know how to deal with that. And I think like, that's the language that we use is so freaking important. And I do it as well. Like I totally do it as well. But I think, you know, if we go into things expecting things to be a struggle, there'll be a struggle. If we go into situations saying, okay, there might be some stuff that comes up that I have to deal with here. We've got so much more control in that situation because we know we can deal with it. As opposed to going, oh my God, there's going to be stuff I struggle with here. Like there's such difference in that language and it's so empowering. Like to, like you said, like, you know, you've got the tools now to deal with it. I think it's freaking phenomenal. And there's what I loved about what you said is, you know, using that example of seeing something on social media and recognizing that as a trigger. And you said, okay, well, what, you know, I'm feeling insecure by this. Putting language to the feeling or the emotion is so important. And because we can have that shit will just cycle in our heads. And it will fester and it will grow and we'll catastrophize and it will start to eat away at our energy and at our ability to handle things. And when I talk about like building resilience, being able to articulate what we're feeling is a really important part of that, because when you can say, okay, I saw someone's post on social media that triggered the hell out of me. It made me feel incredibly insecure. What I need now to deal with this is XYZ. And then you go and do that. Like, how amazing is that? How much more empowered is that than having this cycle of shit and negativity and self-doubt and self-sabotage cycling around our heads for a week, which is previously what both of us sounds like.
Exactly. And then you build muscle memory, I think too, because once you have more situations where that happens and you're starting to bounce back and you're starting to identify and name it. Yeah. I love that. That's such a good tool to just name what you're feeling and not be afraid to feel it. Cause I think I talk to so many people who are like, oh yeah, well that's, you know, I feel pretty bad or that's hard, but it's all good. All good. We'll move past. And it's like, you know, but it's actually okay if it's not all good. And you can name that, you can call that out and acknowledge it. And then you get to decide what you do with it. So then you get to decide how you move past it and you choose how you move forward. And then, you know, so I say, okay, cool. Like I recognize that I'm feeling this way and now I'm going to move on and I'm going to get myself out of the space because I know if I stay here and I camp out in it, it's not going to be very healthy for me. And I'm probably going to lose a lot more time and it's going to be painful, you know? And that's like recognizing then that we know how to do that and reminding ourselves of the situations we go that, that builds that muscle memory. So we're able to keep doing it. Like, oh, remember when, you know, that happened, this happened last week or a month ago or whatever it was. Yeah. Remember when you figured that out, when you dealt with that, like, I know it feels like you can't get out of it now. Cause sometimes I think that I'm like, oh, it's so hard. Like,
yep.
You know, I'm just, you know, it's just, how do I get out of it? And sometimes I just stop myself and I'm like, oh, hang on a minute, honey. Like, just stop a minute, you know, like remember all, like, just think about everything that's happened in the last couple of years and the moments where you felt really low and you didn't think like you were, you didn't think you're going to be able to get out of it. This is probably talking a little bit more broad scheme now, and I suppose related to business, but it's the same kind of concept of like, remember when you were struggling and you faced a challenge, remember how hard it was, remember how you felt. And then remember you feeling like you were, didn't know how you were going to get out of this. You didn't know how you were going to find a way forward. And I felt like this a lot during lockdown as well. There was a lot of very dark days that felt very desperate. And then you always found a way to get through it. You always found a way to pick yourself up. And you're still here today. So if you can do that, you can do this and you can do it again. And you can, yes, this is a mindset, you know, your mind is trying to play tricks on you. It's trying to get at you. It's trying to, you know, there's, yep, there's all these things out here that are this comparison thing, this imposter syndrome, this limiting beliefs. It's like sometimes though, I feel like those seem like those are like, that's the hardest things to do because they're really entrenched in your mind, you know? So what one way of dealing with them is reminding yourself that you've gotten through it before. You've got that muscle memory you can pull from your past experience. And I just think it's part of that battle. And well, as Brené Brown, I love Brené Brown. And she always talks about getting out into the arena and fighting. And if we're out in the arena and we're fighting, these are the things that are going to happen. Like we're going to get knocked down by our mindset or something, you know, is going to try to knock us down. And it's about how we get back up and keep going and how we've done that before and know that we can do it again.
100%. And it's so awesome that you mentioned Brené Brown, cause I was going to do it too. Have you heard about her newest book, which is all about naming our emotions and being able to put language to them. I'm like, I'm itching. It's on my Audible wish list cause it's not out on audiobook yet. I'm like, come on.
Yes. I read a sample of it and I think I'm going to have to either buy the hard copy or probably get it on Kindle, but yeah, it looks really good. I'm just such a huge Brené Brown fan.
So, I know.
I mean, she's amazing. Let's just, yeah.
it's crazy. And there was something that I was going to pick up on and talk about next, but the Brené Brown book thing totally stole my train of thought. No, that was it. I just remembered. You said something about, I can't remember whether you said it exactly or whether it was the meaning that I put to it, but something along the lines of, you know, I always say it's not our business's responsibility to get us to a point where we feel good or where we feel in control or where we feel balanced. And I think, you know, the story that you were sharing then, you said this is on a broader scale. It's not necessarily business, but we can relate it to business, I think is really key. And a big part of certainly how I work, because our business is so important. I mean, let's not get away from the fact that, you know, there is a very simple business success metric that everybody needs to have in that our business pays the bills. Like in one of my other podcast episodes, I think it was with Madhu, and it would have, so what would that have been, last but once, episode 24, she said mindset doesn't pay the bills. And, you know, like as important as mindset is and all of what we've been talking about, you know, to only have a good mindset and not have a business that makes us money, like, you know, like we have to make money, like granted, but there's so many other things in our life that can help us build the resilience, the strength, the confidence, the success metrics to get our business to that point. And that's what I like to talk about when I'm like starting work with a new client, it's like, let's have a look at your whole life.
Yes.
Let's have a look at how you value or how you rate your relationships, how you rate your family life, how you rate your financial situation, how you rate how you feel about your business, how you rate your hobbies and your fun, how you rate your health and fitness, how you rate your, you know, the things you do for personal development, all the different elements of our life. Because what I found, and I found this personally as well, is that some of those segments, like if we're rating them out of 10, might only be like 3 or 4. And that in as a whole is making us feel shitty. You know, if mm-hmm. we're feeling like we're not as connected as we want to be with our partner, or we're feeling like we're letting our health and fitness suffer, or we're not doing enough, like we don't have hobbies. Like how many women listening to this, especially mums, can honestly say hand on heart, they have got an array of hobbies. I sure as hell can't. We let that go, which, you know, we let that go for some, like for some things, like we have to, we might prioritize our kids over our tennis, our love of tennis, for example. But, you know, like there comes a point where we have to, we might have to bring something back into our lives. Like it's not our business's responsibility.
Yeah.
I think this is what I'm getting at. Like any of those things, if any of those segments of our life we're rating low, we might not recognize that it's that segment that is low. And we can be putting that pressure on our business. Like my business has to grow. My business has to make more money. My business has to be more successful. So I feel happier and more fulfilled. But actually maybe joining a gym and losing a couple of kilos, maybe deep down, that's the thing that is going to help us feel a bit more in control and feel a bit more energized. And then the kind of the repercussion of that, or the sort of side benefit of that, is that our business is going to grow because we're feeling better about ourselves. We're feeling more confident. We're feeling more energetic. And just the natural outcome of that is going to be, oh, wow. Okay. Look at that. Like now, because I'm not all doom and gloom, I've got like 100 new Instagram followers or something. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not always our business's responsibility to help us feel more balanced and aligned in our life. I think that's what I'm getting at from that point.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Cause we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves, you know, to always be on with our business and always to have these ideas and be pushing it forward and being successful. And then you're right. Like we are whole people with, you know, lives outside of our business, personal lives and relationships and interests and other things that we do to keep ourselves going. And I mean, I believe so strongly in having balance in a business and having it not take over your life and being the only thing that you do. And especially if you've got a family, and you know, that's why I think it was hard for me last year, because in lockdown, that was all I had was working on it. And that was what got me through it. And I literally didn't have anything else to do. And I tried to create a little bit of a balance as much as I could, but it was like going for a walk or watching a movie. Like there wasn't a whole lot of other things I could do. I couldn't go out and see my friends, or, you know, there was just nothing else I could do. So it became so much of my life. And then this year I actually sort of was able to live my life again. Like I was able to actually be in the world. And because I chose to leave Melbourne and move back to Queensland, where we kept COVID out for most of the year, I was able to enjoy more of like a normal sort of life in that sense. I was able to travel around more freely. So that's what I did. And I went from this like year of one extreme to the other. And then I think my business was sort of caught in the middle of all of that. And that's what I've been trying to understand this whole year, I guess, and then hearing you talk about that too. And I think, well, maybe I was putting so much pressure, put pressure on myself to make things work in a certain way. And then pressure on my business to be something that maybe it actually just isn't supposed to be. And I'm not saying in the sense of not having a business at all, because I definitely do want that. And I want to keep working for myself, but I think it's just taking a different shape than what I originally thought it would be at the beginning. And I think that's what I've been sort of resisting and pushing against, because I'm like, no, it was supposed to look like you know, a coaching business, or then I was going to have a design business and, you know, oh, I should, you know, do all these things. And, but yes, I need to, it needs to make me money and it needs to be all these things. And it's just not. And then at the same time, I don't actually have like the energy, like the mental energy or anything to like make it anything, because this year was just sort of a different year full of transition. And I was sort of caught, you know, like I said, I was caught in that. And then my business was kind of caught in the middle, and then I couldn't bring myself to work on it. And maybe I did put pressure on it, like you were saying, to bring some sort of fulfillment. But then I also felt like I was traveling. I felt amazing about that. And I was meeting all these different people, and I've now settled in Cairns, and that was all amazing and sort of unexpected and great. And so yeah, that area feels really fulfilling. And then there's like my business part that doesn't feel quite as fulfilling. And I'm like, but it's supposed to, you know, like it needs to be. And you know, and hearing you just share all of that, I'm like, oh, you know, but maybe I don't, yeah, I don't need to put so much pressure on it. I definitely don't need to put so much pressure on myself, but that's what I've been kind of struggling with this whole year. Like, but why can't I do it? Why can't I make it work? Like, or why can't, I don't know. And I'm just not honoring where I don't, I think a lot of times I haven't really honored where I've been at exactly. And the fact that I've had all this other stuff as part of my life that's been happening that I've been figuring out and dealing with. And just when things seem to be okay, I've gotten thrown for a loop. And like you were talking about before, yeah, and that's happened to me a couple of times this year. And I've been sort of left to recover from that and figure out how to move forward. And then it's hard to kind of keep putting that energy and focus into a business when you've got all this other stuff happening. Exactly. And so it's like, take the break, or, you know, like take your foot off the gas a little bit and just kind of not force your business to be right now. I don't know. Like, does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
I'm trying to make sense of it myself as I'm talking about it.
Yeah, you know, no, it does. It makes total sense. And I know people listening are going to be like, oh my God, you know, even just hearing us bounce it off each other, there's going to be things that people take, and you know, it's not all going to be relevant. Like, take what's relevant to you and just leave the rest. Like, don't get hung up on, oh, but no, that bit's not right. Like, just take what's relevant to you and just dump the rest. And I think, you know, it's conversations I've been having with so many clients, different industries, different stages of business, different types of people, different scenarios. But there is a sweeping generalization. There is a general exhaustion. There is, and we can't help but be affected by the constant negativity and doom and gloom and crap in the media. Like, I've really stopped, like, I used to love watching The Project. Like, I don't watch it anymore. I'm like, yeah, I can't deal with it. Like, I don't watch the news. Yes, I'll read news headlines and stuff, but even then I'm like, yeah, I just can't be bothered. Like, it's just, there's such an energy around at the moment that can, if we choose to let it, really drag us down. And you know, so your sentiments around putting pressure on our business and or not having the energy to put into it and feeling bad about that, so shared by so many people and myself, you know, as well. If we can take anything, if we can sum up this conversation in any way, and I don't even know that we need to, but anyway, let's try. It's about, it's such a cliche, but being kind to ourselves, yeah, and recognizing. So what does that mean in real life? Because like, how many times do we hear that? I think it's recognizing that, recognizing and accepting that we are on our own path. And again, that's very cliche. It's very, very much sprouted everywhere at the moment, but you know what, just because that person over there might have a very similar looking business, you know, that might be the only part of their life that we see. We don't see their other segments. And actually, as real as they might be presenting, still what we're seeing is what they're choosing to present. We're not seeing what's right inside here. And like what I was saying before, like right at the start, my journey into entrepreneurship, like if you looked at me, like if you looked at my social media, if you met me at an event or down the street or in the park with my kids, you know, you wouldn't have seen any of that grayness. You wouldn't have seen that doubt. shocked. You wouldn't have seen that anxiety. You'd have seen someone who was seemingly loving life and having a really great time. So I think we've got to remember that as well. Like, everyone does go through stuff, whether they present it or not. But the meaning that we and they put to their situation is theirs and theirs alone. And the success metric that we judge ourselves against should be ours. And, you know, you touched on this earlier, and it's certainly something that I'm starting to question in my business. Like, the success metric that I have been judging myself against, I don't think is the right one. Mm. I honestly don't believe it's the right one. And it, even knowing all of this, I've been putting more pressure on myself than I need to. And that's definitely something that's shifting as we speak. So I'm actually really excited to keep unpacking that and see where that leads in 2022.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious how you know that it's not the right scale, and how then do you find what is right? You know, and maybe you don't have all the answers. And then I think that's the beauty of it, right? Like, we don't always have the exact answers and we don't, it's okay to not, but like, what do you sort of like, where are you in that process of discovering what is, how you should, what scale you do want to measure yourself on, and how you know it's not right? And does that look like?
So I know I am a very intuitive person. Mm-hmm. I know that I make my best decisions on the fly. And I know that the best content that I make, you know, like, the, when I stop and when I think about things too much, I overthink them and I go beyond, like, excellence was back here. And then I start overthinking and overanalyzing and overplanning. And before I know it, I've lost that sweet spot.
Yeah.
And so, and so when I say I believe I've been measuring things on the wrong scale, I've been not ignoring, but probably not giving the attention and the value to this sweet intuitive spot enough. Mm. I've been like, okay, especially, so this is in regard to me moving online. Like, previously to work with me, I've only had one-on-one, you know, private coaching sessions. That's been my only product, my only service, other than, you know, face-to-face workshops. Face-to-face, me in front of you, has been the only way that I've worked with people. And obviously, if you've not had a business coaching session or anything, but there, I have no pre-agenda. So I literally sit there and we work through whatever comes up in the session. And I work really well like that. Mm-hmm. I decided that, you know, there's a peak capacity to that. Like, there are only so many hours in a day that I can offer one-on-one work with clients. So if I wanted to grow my business beyond that, I needed something that's going to leverage my time. So I started to create an online coaching hub, which is like a group coaching type vibe. And in my head, I was like, okay, so we'll have fortnightly live group sessions. So they'll be like my one-on-ones, but just with a group of people all together. But then I need to have structured content in there. So I need to have like an online course in there as well. Like, that's what's mm-hmm. needed. And so when I say I've been judging things on the wrong scale, like, the value, the thing I'm really good at is the intuitive, off the cuff, inspired in the moment stuff. When I have to sit down and plan the content for a structured course, if you like, or a structured flow of trainings, I find that much harder. And so I've been beating myself up that maybe I'm just not cut out for this online space. Maybe I should just stick to one-on-one and kind of limit my growth. But then I'm like, hang on, who's to say that people wouldn't want to pay just to be a part of your inspired thinking, or to be able to sit in a Zoom room with you and bounce things with you? Like, that's valuable. And I've had my clients tell me that's valuable, but I wasn't recognizing it. You know what I mean? It's like, I decided that wasn't enough, and that I needed to have this structured content in there as well. And the fact that I found that structured content so hard was meaning I was resisting it and I wasn't doing it. And I was therefore saying in my head that I'm failing. Whereas if I switch the measure, switch the success metric to no, you're inspiring your clients. The people that are on your group coaching sessions are getting inspired, are getting energized, are learning things they didn't even realize they needed to learn at the start of the call. That in itself is enough. Like that's success, that's value. So that's kind of, does that answer your question? It's kind of,
yeah.
It's not a holistic thing. It's each individual element of my business and how I'm judging it. That's what I'm starting to tweak and change. And that's not to say any of my clients who are Hub members, that's not to say that there's not going to be pre-recorded content in there. There is. It's just not going to be a structured flow. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. It's going to be inspired in the moment. When I think of something that I want to share, I'll record a video, I'll record a training on it, and I'll stick it in there. I'm just removing the pressure on myself of having to do it a certain way, because that's what society says you do.
Oh, see, I hearing you talk about that, I think that's what I've been struggling with in my own business since the beginning, is feeling like because everybody else is doing it a certain way, that's how I need to do it too. And I think the moments where I've gone away from that or I've recognized that are the moments where I've thrived the most and been the most happy. But it's funny how I find myself continuing to fall back into that space in a way. And even just from the beginning where I started this project in 2020, and I had done a women's creative leadership program. And part of that was to like create and launch this creative project in 12 weeks. And I loved that project and I felt so inspired. And that was like the first real investment I had made in myself and my future course, that the course of my life that I wanted to take, working for myself, pursuing my own creative work, having this like, you know, location independent lifestyle. Like I just felt like that was the very first stages. But then I was being told that, well, you can't make money doing it this way. Like you've got to have a service. And fair enough, like, yeah, just producing content does take a while. And like I recognize that you can't always make money immediately from that. And yeah, there are other things that you do have to kind of diversify. And right, that's kind of the practical side of it. But I think what I missed that doesn't mean that I can't do this other work that really lights me up. And as I've reflected and backtracked a bit, or just kind of gone back and thought about it all over the last, you know, 18 months to 2 years. And I've thought, well, I've really gone around the circle a fair bit with this, because I just abandoned so many different ideas thinking, well, I've got to do it like this. Okay. Well, I've got to have a service, so maybe I'll coach. Okay. Well, if I don't want to do coaching, well, then I've got all this design experience, so maybe I should design. Okay. Well, that wasn't really lighting me up either. And I didn't ever really, like, probably nobody even knew that I made that shift this year, because I didn't even really talk about it. Like I updated my website and I like didn't even really say, hey, I can design your website. Like people who know that I'm a designer know that I obviously can do that, but a lot of other people wouldn't know. And then, you know, I've got a podcast and, you know, you hearing you talk about it is like putting the language, helping me find that language as well, because I've gone through that very similar process. It's like, well, why am I doing this? Well, and you resist it. Like you were resisting putting this like structured content in your course. So then I step back and I think, well, am I resisting it because I don't want to do it? Am I afraid of it? Is there like, what's going on here? And I think, well, yeah, it is scary, but I think I can get past that. So maybe there's actually something deeper going on here where it's actually not resonating with me, or it's not aligning to who I really am and what I want to do and what I want to spend my precious energy, you know, doing in my work. And if it's not going to light me up in that way, then, you know, maybe that's why I'm resisting making all these shifts. You know, I could make this big shift into a design business and, you know, but I was never thrilled at the idea of writing, like producing design related content, like find these fonts, you know, these are the best fonts for your website. And here's the Squarespace hack. Like I never wanted to talk about that. I was like, I can design people's websites, but I don't really want to produce content about how to design websites. And so then I thought, oh, well, then I can't have a design business because I'm not doing it like all the other people. And then I think, well, I mean, I can still design, like nothing is stopping me from making people's websites and designing for them because I am a great designer and I've got a lot of experience doing it and I don't have to do it like everybody else. And then I've started making this shift just in the last part of this year to like, okay, well, maybe I don't have to identify myself as any one specific thing. And maybe my whole struggle throughout my career has been, I feel like I've been put into a box, and and sometimes it's a box that I put myself, well, now more recently, it's the box I'm putting myself in. But previous to that, I think I just kept hitting a ceiling at all the previous jobs that I was working at. Like there just was only so far I could go. And I wanted to do more than what I felt like I could ever do in those positions and in that career. And so when the opportunity came to strike out on my own, I took it. And now, of course, I have to take responsibility for being the one that puts myself in the box, because there ain't nobody else doing it now. It's all me, you know, and I do take that responsibility. But I just think, like, why do I have to be just a design business or just a coaching business or just a whatever? Like, I've never really wanted to follow the conventional path anyway. So just because everybody else online, all the business influencers and social media influencers say, this is how you have to do it, and you have to create a following like this and an audience like that, and you know, you have to create a course and you have to have all this, you know, like, but that might not work for me. It didn't work for you, you know? And so just recognizing that, and I don't know, I feel like I've gone through this really long process of coming to that conclusion, but like,
and I don't think there's anything, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That whole labeling thing and putting yourself in a box, I 100% resonate with. I'm like, am I a leadership coach? Am I an executive coach? Am I a business coach? Am I an accountant who coaches? Am I a business advisor? Yeah. I'm like, and then it's like, who the fuck cares? Who cares? Like, you know, like, it doesn't matter. The label doesn't matter. What matters is the value that I bring. So, you know, if I'm presenting a workshop to a team in an organization, then call me a facilitator, call me a trainer, call me a leadership coach, if that's what you want. Like, if I'm having a one-on-one session with a small business owner, call me a small business coach. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, what I see the value in what I do is inspiring people to do what they do better. And so if that means you want to call me your business coach, fine. If that means you want to call me your life coach, fine. If that means you want to call me the person that just helps you keep your shit together, fine. Call me that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I totally resonate with that, putting ourselves in boxes. And until we can define that, that's like what I was saying earlier about struggling to define my vision and my mission. And I felt like until I could define it, I wasn't ready to go out there and talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's all part of our conditioning. That's all part of the limiting beliefs we spoke about earlier. That's all part of the meaning that we're putting to it. Like, you know, the meaning that you put to, if I have a design business, I have to go and create content on the best fonts to use on my website. Therefore, I'm not going to have a design business because I don't want to do that. You know, like, nothing about the concept of a design business said you had to do that, except there was a meaning that you constructed in your head.
Yes.
And you therefore validated your opinion for not doing it because you didn't want to do that part of it. But like, you're in 100% control. You don't have to do that shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's right. You know, like, that's a great takeaway for anyone listening to this, in any business, in any industry, in any stage. Like, just because the social media gurus say, you know, you've got to be doing reels 3 times a week, or you've got to do this, or you've got to do that. Like, you, like, honestly, no. I don't believe that you do. Like,
I don't either.
It's going to work for you.
Exactly. It's too much. And I actually, to be honest, this year have gone away from following most of those people. Like, I've unfollowed a lot of those, like, big business, and I'm not saying that needs to be for everybody, but for me, it started to become really triggering, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And I was like, this isn't really aligned with who I am and what I want. And like, I'm a very intuitive, heart-led person as well. And this year I have needed to be a lot more gentle with myself. And I haven't really been in the space where I can produce a lot of content or share things. I've just kind of had to sit back and allow myself to be in the space that I'm in, and whatever that means, and know that, like, there will come a time when that's going to change and I'm going to want to share more and produce more. And maybe that's just the season that I'm sitting in right now, and whatever I know, like, so I just needed to remove some of those other voices. And I'm like, this is too much. Like, I'm just not in that place right now where I feel like this is something I can do. And maybe it never was anyway. Like, I think, like, kind of coming back around to that, maybe that's the most freeing thing that I've realized this whole year, is like, it doesn't have to look like everybody else's. And it doesn't have to look, I don't have to do the things that everybody else says I should do. And I'm going to find my own way forward. And it's going to look, it's, if I'm going to do a business, if I'm going to work for myself, if I'm going to produce content, like, why wouldn't I want to be true to myself? Like, it's not going to, and I think that's sometimes where I feel that resistance is, there's some part of it that doesn't feel in alignment with who I am and what I want. And I think it's hard to identify that. And that's what I've struggled with a bit. I'm like, with, am I feeling resistance because I just am afraid to do it? Or is it actually something that's not aligning here? And, and figuring that out, and then just embracing it and going, right, like, okay, it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be the same way that everybody else is. Like, cool. Yeah. I'm me. Paving my own path.
I think there's a massive, there's a massive fear. I deep down believe that everybody does know how, what they want to be doing and how they want to be doing it. But the thing that's stopping us is either our belief in ourselves or our belief in our value, or even just being scared to acknowledge that, for fear of judgment, for fear of not being good enough at it, for fear of not belonging. You know, imagine like our unconscious mind probably knows exactly what we need to be doing, but our conscious mind is saying, yeah, but what if you put that out there and no one likes it?
Yeah.
So actually, let's just say we're doing this because this is much safer. And, you know, and that's that kind of inner battle that goes on in our heads all the time. So I'm like, if, imagine the power if we could just shut that ego voice up and just say, hey, look, I know you've got me to where I am right now, but I'm just going to roll with this and see what happens and be okay. Like, if it doesn't work out how we think it might, be okay to, another buzzword of the moment, pivot and try something else, you know?
Oh, there's been lots of pivoting this year. I mean, I know I'm not the only one, but yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because we do get so attached to like a certain outcome. And I think we, you know, if we do have to pivot, that means we are a failure. Oh, something didn't work. And instead of it, and going back to, again, a lot of the themes we've discussed in this conversation of like, it's about the meaning, the value that they give to it, right? Like, just because we have to pivot or try something different doesn't mean that the thing we were doing before was a failure. It just means we learned something. Like, we had to try that thing in order to get to the next one.
Exactly.
And so I'm trying to like, look at, that's how this year has been for me. I've tried a couple different things, some with more or less effort, and for whatever reason, they didn't feel right. Or they, you know, I can't really say that none of them actually didn't work. And then I think like, well, actually everything that I have tried has been like, I've achieved some level of success with it. So why do I think that I haven't been successful? But like, you know, I think, oh, I just, for whatever reason, it's not something about it's not aligned. And so great, cool. I learned something. Like, let's move on to the next thing. And it's just, it's easy how it's like a very fine balance between staying on that side of it. And then the other side, which is like, oh no, I'm a failure. And like, what am I doing? And like, that wasn't right. And nobody liked it. And you're kind of like got both of those sides tugging at you so
100%.
Much. Like, when today, which way am I going to go today? Sometimes it feels like, you know, or moment by moment thing where you could just easily be swayed to go, oh, okay, well now I just feel like crap about everything. But actually that's not true. You know,
I think, you know, something that I ask, like when I've got a guest on my show, something that I ask everybody, are around the non-negotiables that we set for ourselves. And I think that plays really nicely into what you were just saying then, in that every day, every single day, we have a choice about how we choose to look at things, how we choose to approach things, what our attitude is going to be. And I know for me that how I set myself up for the day has a massive impact on which way I go. And some days I can feel like, you know what, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I just want to stay in bed. But I know that if I set my alarm, I have to get up at the time of my alarm. So sometimes, you know, I'll go to bed and I'll be like, you know what, I'm tired, I'm not going to get up at 6, I'm going to get up at 7:30. And I'll change my alarm. And so in that regard, I'm allowed to sleep in. But a non-negotiable that I set for myself is that Monday to Friday, when I'm working, I set my alarm and I get up when my alarm goes off. I don't snooze it. I get up. yes, then I'll have an aimless scroll through social media because that's just what I like to do. Then I'll go and do some form of exercise or workout. Not always like full on like cardiovascular hit. It might be yoga. It might be a bit of stretching. It might not be anything too significant, but I have to wake my body up. Mm-hmm. And if those mornings where I choose to sit there on Instagram for a bit too long and I'll eat into my exercise time, I know those days are going to end up not being as productive as the days where I've woken my body up. So there's some of my non-negotiables. I'm curious about if you have any that you know that if I don't do this, I know my day is going to be harder than it otherwise would be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on the exercise piece. For me, that was a non-negotiable during lockdown because I needed that for my mental health. So I'd get up in the morning and I'd create a lot of structure around those days because they were just big blobs otherwise of like endless amounts of time with nothing to break it up. And I'd set my alarm and I'd get up even, you know, if I obviously didn't have anywhere to be, but I'd try to create some structure and I'd do some Pilates and I'd always do that in the morning and then end the day with a walk. And I found that that has been a routine that has carried with me this whole year past 2020. And I think that's here to stay now. So yeah, I get up in the morning and I do a workout and some days I don't have a lot of energy or like, I don't know, I'm, you know, got aches and pains in my body, sadly. And so sometimes I'm just like a bit prohibited from doing it. You know, I can't always do what I would want, but I still get up and I stretch and yeah, moving my body and get some blood flow and just, doing some kind of workout. And then I always do a run or a walk or something in the afternoon. And I just have to kind of like bookmark my day like that. And I found that on the days where I don't do that, then I definitely don't feel as good. And, that's just become a non-negotiable for me getting outside. And here now it's getting a bit tricky because it's so hot up in Cairns. And that's, I don't know, it's a bit of a struggle.
I was thinking that when you say go for a run in the afternoons, so I'm like, holy hell.
Oh, actually, I mean, I like have to pretty much after 5:30, like the other day I tried going, I think it was 4:30 and it was, no, I was like, this is a terrible idea and I'm never doing this again. But so pretty much it's like early evening that I have to go. Yeah, now, but it's still good and it works. And yeah, I snooze my alarm and I wish I could be that disciplined because sometimes I just can't be anymore. It's funny how I feel like I was more disciplined when I was in lockdown. And then I've just got a bit slack this year. It's very weird. But
again, I mean, it's like, just because that works for me doesn't mean it works for you. Doesn't mean that what you do is wrong.
I know.
Right?
I want it to work. Like I want it to be better. Anyway, I can keep trying. I mean, anyway.
I think, you know, like it's been such a fascinating conversation. I hope it has been for you guys listening as well. Like we could just keep talking.
I know.
But like, you know, to wrap up, like I always like to set a theme for the year, like for the year ahead. So like my theme for the year ahead is lifestyle. So meaning I'm really leaning into this belief that I can create amazing value for my clients and I can create an amazing business for myself and for my family and still have the lifestyle that I want. So every decision that I'm making about my business moving forwards, it needs to be moving me in the direction of the next level desired lifestyle that I'm after.
That's great.
So it's working less but earning more. So that's my focus for the year. I'd love to hear yours.
I love that. I think that was part of my focus for this year too. I'd have to say I'd carry that into next year as well. But I otherwise, like to be quite honest, I don't really know at this point. As I just said, like lifestyle has been a big thing. Like that's been, so I think that's just kind of the consistent thing. I measure all my decisions now based on that. Like what kind of, you know, what's the lifestyle that I want? You know, is this thing going to fit with that lifestyle that I'm trying to create for myself and the balance that I want to have and where I want to get to. And I've started using that as the measure for aligning my decisions, which is really good. And so I definitely think that became very prominent for me this year in all the decisions I made. And I think that's going to continue into next year. And so but for me, I didn't really choose like a year, a word or a theme for this year for 2021, But I think now that the year is gone and almost over, I look back and I think, oh, actually, this was my theme. And I think that was openness. And I'm not really sure, like I said, so I'm now wondering if maybe I go into next year without something specifically, and maybe the year is going to kind of reveal to me what the theme was, because that's what happened this year. And I'm reflecting now and going, wow, everything that I did aside from, you know, making like kind of lifestyle choices, but well, and even this is tied into that. Like I just went in with an open heart and an open mind to just receive. And like, I sort of had a plan somewhat, and this is very new for me because I'm such a planner, but so I had a plan and I was willing to adjust the plan and be flexible. And, as a result, like I set off from Brisbane, not knowing where I was going to end up. I ended up here in Cairns, and you know, things have just kind of unfolded from there. And I just keep trying to be open. And a lot of things have challenged that. A lot of relationships have challenged that for me this year. And I think, gosh, I don't want to be open anymore because it actually really hurts sometimes. And I've really had to challenge myself to continue to be open. And I do kind of feel like that is another theme at this point. Like I'm not really ready to let go of that. So we'll just, you know, I think that's what I'm going to, I need to challenge myself to continue to remain open and open to people and opportunities and situations, and not be closed off and just willing to receive what comes, even if it wasn't what I was expecting. And I think I need to continue that at least to the first part of the year. So we'll go with that.
I like it. I love it. I think that's a really cool place to end on, don't you? Like it's been such an amazing conversation. And we kind of joked earlier that we might have to break this up into two episodes, and maybe we will. It's been a bit of a marathon, but I have loved it. Thank you so much for this like opportunity, and to be able to bounce off you, Heather, has been great. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
You too, Claire. I mean, I've been sort of tossing around a lot of these thoughts in my head for this year. So it feels really great to have a fresh mind and you, and you've gone through so many of the similar things, and you've talked going to through who have going through,
well, not continuous thing, process. Yeah,
we're still going through it. And that's what I joke. I'm like, I just feel like I'm always in an in-between season, and I'm just always, you know, and I think sometimes that's how it is. We're pushing onward, and we're in the process, and that's okay. Absolutely. Here we are. Absolutely. So it's been really great. Yeah. Oh,
fabulous. I love it.
yay.
Yeah, thanks so much. Let's wrap up.
Let's do it.
Cut.
Okay, I am still smiling. That was so much fun. What a great conversation with Claire. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that you take something valuable away from that conversation for wherever you're at in your journey right now. Thank you so much, Claire, for coming on and having this conversation with me. If you want to learn more about Claire and her podcast, Real Life Business, and her Reignite Performance Coaching, head on over to the show page at heatherashleybaker.com/podcast/Claire-Heather, and you can find all of Claire's contact information there. Thank you so much for joining me on this special bonus episode of In Between. More new good stuff is coming this year, so stay tuned.